3.
Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. My name is Roger Z. I'm your host. For those of you who are not in the Westchester area and can't get this on Cablevision or Verizon, you can always go to the website, theworkingmusician.com, click on Working Musicians, and there's an audio track of every show. So if you got 27 minutes, because that's exactly how long they are.
That's it.
And we've had some fascinating people, such as my special guest, part two today, Mike Corbin.
How are you? Nice to see you.
Yeah, and you're a veteran of the show.
Yes.
Because you were on with Big Jim Wheeler.
I was on with Big Jim. I remember when that was. That was a while back. Not too far, but it's good. It was a good show.
Now, we were talking Big Jim is a movie star.
Rachel's Wedding.
Rachel got married.
He's going to see this. He's going to say.
Right.
Can't remember the name of the movie.
Any gigs coming up with Big Jim Wheeler?
In July. End of July at the Turning Point.
Okay.
That's our next gig with Big Jim. Yeah.
And you play with the Ruse Brothers?
The Ruse Brothers. Once in a while, yeah. There are no gigs coming up with them at the moment. We're just...
So you're doing your own thing, and you're playing in the tribute band called The Band.
Yes.
Which is at www.thebandband.com. Love
That's it.
And you're at myspace.com/MikeCorbin.
55. Somebody had Mike Corbin already.
So why did you pick 55?
Just a number, just...
Your birth year?
Old 55, Tom Waits.
Love that song. Love that song.
It's a line in the song, 55 Chevy.
You know, it's so funny. It's so weird because he's got such a gravelly voice, and I heard that song by the Eagles, who sing it silky smooth.
And then you hear him sing it. I met Tom Waits at Gertie's Folk City, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Really?
Yeah. I was the only one. I was playing there that night, and the gig was over. And I was sitting at the bar, the bartender and a waitress and a couple other people. He busts through the door, sits down next to me, puts a pack of Old Gold up on the bar, starts chain smoking Old Gold. And I was like, who's that? It's Tom Waits. When he sings, I could understand him, but when he was talking to me, I couldn't understand a word he said. It was funny.
He's an interesting character. Some people have had big hits off of his songs. I'm thinking of Rod Stewart.
A great song, Downtown Train.
Yeah, I'm thinking of all the pigeons flopping around.
Great song. That was a really good song.
And the Eagles, Old 55. What else?
Heart of Saturday Night.
Yes.
Looking for the Heart of Saturday Night. Another one.
Well, you know, I tell my kids, if you're going to write a song...
Yeah.
Hanukkah is the song to write. Do you know how much money Adam Sandler's got to be raking in? And if not Hanukkah, at least Halloween.
You know,
a good Christmas one.
Yeah, they got
but a seasonal song.
Seasonal band, they play. And
Jose
play.
Feliciano threw a tantrum. Didn't want to record that song.
He didn't want to record that?
He hated it.
Come on.
And now he's living off it.
Jeez.
Feliz Navidad.
That's great.
So last show you were telling us about your journey to meet Bob Dylan. This show you told us about meeting Mr. Heart of the Saturday Night.
Tom Waits.
Who else have you met?
Clarence Clemens, Bruce Springsteen. Met Clarence. I had met Bruce years ago. And then I met Clarence and we became pretty good friends and did some writing together. And played with him for a while, and then it was right when he wasn't playing with Bruce when they stopped playing.
When Bruce did Lucky Town and all those two CDs.
And then they started playing, and then he got the band back together, and then Clarence was, I haven't talked to him in a while, but he was playing at a club in Florida, and my brother used my name to get in. To tell him Mike Corbin's out here. And he went back, and Clarence looks at him and goes, wait a minute, you're not Mike Corbin.
Good for your brother. Good for your brother.
So,
you have any bizarre stories? I'm in a bizarre story mode.
Stories. Oh, man.
If you don't, that's okay.
Off the top of my head, nothing bizarre. It's just stories going over to... it's not really bizarre. It was intriguing more than bizarre, recording at Abbey Road Studios.
Oh, wow. The Beatles.
And there. It was... I went there with a buddy of mine, John Babcock, and we were in Abbey Road Studios, and no one else was in the place. There was a security guard who had been there since the place opened. This old guy. And he started talking to us. Started talking about the Beatles. And he started giving us a tour around the place. This is where the Beatles used to go, in this back room back here. This, and they used to go here, and they used to hide from all the fans and go out there. So we're doing a recording, of course, in Studio 2, where they recorded every Beatles song that was recorded. It was in Studio 2.
Wow.
And I'm in there, and I'm walking around later on by myself, and I hear this singing coming out of this other studio. And the door opens, and I hear it, and I go, man, I know that sound. I know that voice. And like 15, 20 minutes later, guy walks out. It's Joe Cocker.
Wow.
Joe Cocker's there. And they have a little kitchen downstairs where you can cook your own food and everything. So we're down there cooking up some sandwiches with Joe Cocker and having a beer. And it was pretty cool.
This must be before he gave up drinking. Or after. I don't know.
I think I had the beer. Maybe he didn't have the beer.
Yeah, that's so funny. You reminded me because people keep asking me to learn that song that he does, Keep Your Hat On.
Oh, I used to sing that in a band, yeah.
And I keep forgetting to learn it.
Keep Your Hat On.
But you know a great song I just learned? It's called The Walking Blues, but it's the one that goes, walk right in, walk right out.
Yeah.
You know that one?
Yeah, there's the other Walking Blues. Yeah.
Then there's the other one that Paul Butterfield made famous. Cool. So what are you going to play for us today?
I want to start out playing a song called Back to Atlanta. Originally from the South. My folks are from the South. And it's kind of sort of autobiographical.
You know, before you do that, now that we've got Rita in the studio, let me flash your CDs. Okay, the first one is an older one, Mike Corbin Band, Cold War. And just tell me when to drop it, Rita. Drop it, okay. I love it. Don't tell me where to put it, just tell me where to drop it. We good with this one? Okay. Thank you. All right, let's rock!
Back to Atlanta. Start anew.
Autobiographical?
Yeah.
You have any kids?
Yeah, two boys.
Because when you said, I want to maybe settle down and lead a peaceful life and have some kids, that's 18 years of not peaceful.
peaceful.
A little surprised by that.
That's true. It's tough.
Nice song. You know, it's funny because country is the new rock.
Yes.
I mean, I watched cable GAC a lot, and I was watching the AMC Country Awards, or ACM, Academy of Country Music, and there was like two country songs on the show. Everything else was basically everything from hard rock to country rock. And so listening to that song, I'm thinking, you know, and actually because you're a fan of Dylan, and Dylan did all his early major recording in Nashville. You ever think of going to Nashville, cutting a record?
Yeah, I've been down there a couple times. I've thought about going down. I'd love to. It's just, you know, time and getting the chance to, a few people, a few friends down there. So it's possible that I could get down there and record some. It'd be great. I'd love it.
What's next, my friend?
Next is a new song. My newest song. It's a ballad. And it's a song. You grow up. And while you're growing up, you know, you're always constantly fighting battles, getting through things, trying to break down this wall, that wall, just to get to where you want to be, to where you want to go. Challenges that confront you all the time, that you're trying to do that. And at some point in your life, you might feel like you've reached the spot where you, or the place where you want to be.
Have you reached that spot?
Well, that's where this song comes in.
That's
because
awesome.
You reach the spot, and then something happens. And you feel like you're right back where you started from again. And you feel like you got to break the walls down all over again to get yourself back up to where you want to be. And
I had someone say to me recently, you know, I wanted to be with an older guy who was settled down and not still raging against the world. And I said, well, fine. What do you say?
What do you say to that?
Sorry, not me.
What do you say? I pay is much more than
reminds me of Eric Anderson a little bit.
Yeah. Another very fine songwriter, musician, singer. Great.
Yeah, I jammed with him down at Gertie's Folk
Stadium. Oh, did you? Oh, wow.
Yeah, back in the day, I played a lot of gigs at that club, but as a bass player.
Oh, yeah?
Backing up different people.
Yeah. Wow.
Before it closed. I guess it was the second owner.
Yeah. Jeez, what was that?
You know, it's funny. I was watching Next Stop Greenwich Village, or Last Stop Greenwich Village,
yes,
on TV last night. And it just made me sad because Greenwich Village is completely gone.
Yeah.
It used to be a cheap place for bohemians, and now it's basically a huge dormitory for NYU.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And I want to take my girlfriend down to see it, but it's not there anymore.
See, I know, right? Oh, man. Yeah, it's not there. Some of the old clubs that used to be there.
And you remember St. Mark's Place?
Yeah.
Because that's gone, too.
It's gone.
I guess it was Smiler's, where there was where I used to get egg creams.
Oh,
and
so is Mamoon's still there?
Mamoon's is still there. That's amazing. I don't know.
Mamoon's
that,
is still there.
That place,
there.
I think he's have two of them, one on either side of the street. But I haven't been down there in a couple of years.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
Wow.
It was great back in the day.
Nice.
But let's get back to you.
Yeah.
Let's get back to our question. Who, living or dead, would play in your dream band or bands?
Well, you know, I thought about it, and, you know, I thought about saying, you know, picking just super mega stars, living or dead. But for me, ultimately, it's the people that I would feel most comfortable with playing with. And that would be, on bass, would be Bill Corbin, who's my brother, who lived down in Atlanta. A drummer, Sal Lombardi, great drummer. Played with a lot of drummers, but you always get that one guy when you turn around and you look at him when he's playing and you just feel like he's going to be there when you need him. And,
sure.
Of course, two guys that I've known for a long time, Billy and Steve Bruce.
Right, they were on the show.
Yeah. And Jack Kraft playing keyboards, and Pat Jones playing guitar also. These are, Pat's been around, he's played with a little, he was on tour with Whitney Houston, and great guitar player.
He plays at OD's, doesn't
yes, he does.
Down in...
you know Pat, you might know him.
I see,
phenomenal
his name.
Guitar player.
He plays at OD's
and
at night.
Yeah. It's great.
So do you actually ever, in reality, get together with these
Not
guys?
Not in that, Bill? No. No, I
and
play with Billy and Steve once in a while, but, and Pat once in a while, but as far as getting together as a band, we did play once, a few times together. Back in, this a while ago. It's been a while. So,
let me move on to another question. You know, my favorite answer to that question is I'd like to be the bass player in the Doors.
Well, that's great. I guess it's unfair to answer it that way for
no.
me. But I mean, an ultimate band. I mean, it's a great. That would be it for me. I would love to play with everybody. That's.
Now, I think I know the answer to this question, but who are some of the people that made you want to be a musician? Who are some of the people who said, I gotta do this, I gotta be that, it defines me?
Well, when I was 13, my brother gave me a guitar and taught me three chords and taught me how to play Down by the River, Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
But that's more than three chords.
That was three chords when I played. And then from there, he put on a record, and he said to me, this is the best song that's ever been written, and it was Dark End of the Street. by the Burrito, Flying Burrito Brothers.
Oh, really?
And I heard that song, and he was right. Incredible song. Just a great song. And that song, and then from there, it was Bob Dylan. Whenever I heard Bob Dylan play.
Did you like the acoustic or the electric?
I started out, you know, the acoustic stuff with Dylan. I was really into his obscure stuff, stuff that wasn't on records.
The outtakes?
The outtakes, If I Could Do It All Over Again, stuff like that. Stuff that wasn't on records that inspired me to play. I would get bootleg records and hear it and stuff. But that really sparked it for me. That hearing that Burrito Brothers and Dylan really said, I gotta play the guitar. I gotta sing. I gotta start writing. So I learned my three chords and I got my guitar and I just started playing with anybody and everybody that I possibly could play with.
Three chords and a capo.
Yes. Then you have a lot more chords. And, yeah. And the rest is history.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule.
Nope, it's my pleasure.
Quickly, your next gig.
Next gig, Sunday, up in Warwick, New York, at Fratello. But after that, I'll be recording, then I'll be down at B.B. King's with another band.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Thank you.
We're done.
That's it.